Well, again, good morning, everybody. And, you know, after all the weather we had this past week, it's good to see you. I'm glad none of you were blown away by that. I know I talked to a couple of us, but did anybody have any storm damage from Monday and Tuesday? Yeah, a little bit. It's I was watching the weather Monday morning, and the weatherman said specifically, don't expect any rain to break the heat this week. I mean, those are the words that came out of this guy's mouth. And I was in my office both times, you know, Monday, then Tuesday, when it just seemed like the heavens opened up and boom, things came down. Those were some powerful storms that we were able to experience and live through. And hopefully it wasn't too bad for anybody in particular. But, you know, when we think about the various storms of life, when we talk about that, particularly in this space, we don't think of rainstorms, right? We think of different types of storms, right? We think of the difficulties that we face. We think about difficult or broken relationships. We think about the financial crises that we might be dealing with, or some of our health issues. We think of death, the storms that rage around us. And sometime in our lives, we're going to face these types of storms. And, you know, I believe I've said it before here. If not, if you're hearing it for the first time, that's fine. But really, there are only two types of people in the world. There are those people who are going through a crisis and those people who are going to be going through a crisis. Those are the only two people that exist in our world today. And, you know, this morning I wanted to look at a parable of Jesus that gives us some insight on to how we might be able to stand amidst the storms of our life. This passage comes at the end of what's known as the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is known for its practical instruction. And these are some of the most famous of Jesus' words. It's found in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. Right, this is a sermon where Jesus tells us to turn the other cheek. Right, if you've ever wondered where that was in the Bible, it's in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. Be like salt and light in the world, to avoid lust and anger, not to worry, to forgive, not to judge others, to do things, right? To do these God things that God has asked us to do for God's glory and not for others' applause. And at the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he wants to drive home this important point, right? That in order to benefit from all of this wisdom that Jesus has just shared, we need to be like the man who built his house on the rock rather than the man who built his house upon the sand. And so this is God's word for us from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise, like a person who builds his house on a rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When it rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Right, the picture that Jesus is painting here is pretty clear, that a storm, that a house in the midst of a storm, if it lacks a solid foundation, is a house, a life, that is going to get knocked down. And I think there's a couple of things that we need to hear from Jesus' words for us this morning. And the first one is this, is that everybody is building on some sort of foundation. Everyone here is building their lives, building their house on some sort of foundation, right? And there are only two choices. You either build on a solid and deep foundation, or you build on a shallow and weak foundation. This is a recurring theme throughout the Sermon on the Mount. In verses 13 and 14, Jesus tells us that there's going to be two gates, right? There's going to be a broad gate, a broad way, and a narrow way with a narrow gate. The broad way leads to destruction. The narrow way leads to life, and you are on one or the other. Verses 15 to 20, Jesus tells us that there are only two types of trees. There are trees that bear good fruit, and there are trees that bear bad fruit. The bad trees bear bad fruit, and the good trees bear good fruit, and you are either one or the other. And now Jesus is telling us that there are only two foundations. One that is going to withstand the storms of life, and the other foundation that will not. And the picture is very clear. You are either going to walk God's way, and you're going to experience God's transformation in your life, and you're going to know His strength during the difficult times of your life. Or you're going to walk away from God, producing nothing of eternal value, and you are going to be vulnerable to the storms that will pop up in your life. And you can only be one or the other. So which one are you, church? What are you building your life upon? And secondly, Jesus wants us to know that times of testing reveal the foundation upon which we've built. You know, this parable indicates that before the storms came, these two houses looked identical. They may have been attractive and spacious and comfortable. On the surface, right, looking at these two houses, you wouldn't have been able to tell which one was built upon that solid foundation and which one was built upon the sand. It was only when the storms hit that you could see the difference in these two homes. And so it is going to be with us as well, right? It is impossible for us to tell who is genuine in their faith and who isn't until the times of trial comes. I mean, it's very easy to simply talk the talk. It's easy to sound like a believer when life is good, when God is giving us what we want, when we are, you know, all cheering for Him. But true faith comes when we are called to trust in the dark. When a person faces loss or disappointment, or things simply don't go as planned, we get to see what kind of faith they are really building upon. Because it is very easy to profess faith when life is good. It is far more difficult to profess faith when you stand at the grave of the one you love. And it's at that time you've really got to ask a tough question. Do I really believe? Do I really believe this, or don't I? And thirdly, the thing Jesus wants us to know is how can we build on a firm foundation? Because, I mean, just talking already this morning, right, that sandy foundation sounds awful. Because remember, there's only two types of people, right? Somebody who's going through a crisis or a storm, and somebody who's going to be going through a crisis or a storm. And so how do we build upon a firm foundation? And the first thing, we have to know the truth. We have to know the truth. Jesus said, that anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man, the wise person. Right? The first step is to hear, which also means we must listen. And so practically, I think this means several things. First of all, it means that we have a responsibility to expose ourselves to the truth. And we do this by reading the Bible, by reading Christian books, by attending worship, by getting involved in classes and Bible studies, by meeting with Christian friends who can teach us and instruct us and simply walk the journey with us. And secondly, it means to listen, right? It's not just enough to hear, right? Anybody here who has ever had a teenager knows that there is a difference between hearing and listening. Because the key to listening is to interact with the one who is speaking, right? The best listeners that I know are the listeners who ask all sorts of clarifying questions. They say things like, well, what do you mean? Are you saying? Can you explain that further? Well, what happened next? Right? These are signs that the person that you're talking to is actually listening to you. They ask these clarifying questions, and you know that's what we get to do with God. Right? We get to ask these types of clarifying questions. When we're reading God's word, we should be asking all sorts of questions like, have I understood this correctly? Are there other types of passages that teach similar things? Is God warning me of something? And do I need to repent? Church, pay attention to that. If you're reading God's word and you feel a pang in your spirit, don't walk past that. Pay attention to it. Is there a promise that I can claim? Is this a command that I need to obey? And what is this account trying to teach me? Because the more we expose ourselves to truth, the deeper we will grow. And that applies to our spiritual lives as well. Right? So we hear, we listen. And then we've got to act on the truth, right? Because it's not just enough to know about God. And it's not just enough to know what God wants us to do. It's not enough to know how to apply the word, right? If we are going to build on a firm foundation, we must actually do what God is asking us to do. You know, the reality we've got to face is this, that there are people who are very, very knowledgeable about the Christian faith who are building their lives on sand. Right? They appear to know the truth. They appear to be a Christian, but they're not doing what God is asking them to do. Now, to some degree, we're all this person. Right? Every one of us has areas in our lives where we're not applying the truth. We know what God wants us to do. We simply don't do it. However, I think the person who's building upon the firm foundation is working to eliminate those areas in their lives. They know that there are areas in their lives that are robbing them of their spiritual vitality and weakening their foundation. The foolish builder is unconcerned about these types of things. But the wise builder pays attention. We must learn to be obedient because when the storms come, we must react. We won't have time amidst the storms of life to simply say, "What am I going to do? What do I do, God?" We need to know what to do. When the storms of life come, we're not going to have the opportunity to build that firm foundation. We need to be holding on to that firm foundation. The parable of these two houses is a simple parable, but a powerful one. And it teaches us to build our foundation firmly upon the Lord. And if we build our foundation upon the Lord, we will be able to survive anything. It sounds painfully trite, but it is absolutely true. Right? I base this conclusion on the promise of God and the testimony of history. History is filled with martyrs who remained faithful amidst horrible situations. You and I have all seen similar things. People who have endured horrible ordeals because of their faith. We have seen others go through circumstances that may have destroyed us, but they survived because of their faith. We have seen people who have faced death with courage and grace and confidence. We will survive the storms of life if we build on the right foundation. Because when we build upon the right foundation, our strength will not come from us, but it will come from Him. We will not trust our wisdom, but we will trust in God's wisdom. And our focus will not be upon our present struggle, but upon our future hope. You know, maybe you're in a storm right now, and maybe you're in the process of discovering that your foundation is faulty. Turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. Immerse yourself in God's word. Find good Christian friends who will give you godly guidance. Place your confidence in God's love for you and in His work on your behalf. Turn to God, not away from Him. It's difficult, but God is merciful and God is faithful. And if you're not in a storm right now, let me remind you that the time to prepare for the struggles and the storms of life is now, not tomorrow. Right? Because the best way to avert a crisis is to take the necessary precautions ahead of time. And the best way to prepare for those inevitable trials of life is to build your life upon that solid rock, upon Jesus Christ. Make time to hear God's commands. Find opportunities to grow in knowledge. Be diligent to do what God is asking you to do. Now, I don't know how much time we have left. I don't know how much time we have before the next storm hits. If you turn on the television set and you listen to a weather person, they have no clue. And we have no clue. And so don't put it off. But build that foundation that will withstand the storms of life. Because they're coming. Be a wise person. Know your foundation. Cling to your foundation. Let's pray. Lord God, I recognize that it is very easy for me to stand in front of my church family and to say, we need to trust in God. And it is very easy to do that when life is going well, when we're on top of the mountain, when life is good. But Jesus, we are grateful that we know that when we go through the storms of life, that we are not alone. and that we can have joy amidst the horrible circumstances because our joy is built upon you. And so help us, Jesus, help us to build on you today. Help us to find strength and solace in your words. Help us to find encouragement as we gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, help us to find our purpose as we go and we serve you and serve others. That this type of foundation is not going to be a foundation that will crumble. Jesus, we desperately need you. Thank you for being our rock and our fortress. Thank you for being our healing and our peace. Jesus, help us to build upon you. Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen.